Welcome to the Eater Upsell, a podcast from the Vox Media Podcast Network. My name is Daniel Janine. I am a producer here at Eater. And today I have an episode for you that I am really, really excited about. I was joined by one of my favorite comedians, Aparna Nancherla, to review a brand new restaurant, The Intersect, by Lexus, the car company, and Danny Meyer's Union Square Hospitality Group. You may have remembered a few weeks ago, Amanda and I argued about how big of a sellout move this restaurant was for Danny Meyer, who is one of the most respected restaurateurs in the game, to take a bunch of money and set up a restaurant sponsored by a car company. I thought this was a huge step in the direction of selling out. Amanda thought that he's done a lot of other corporate things. Anyway, I brought Aparna, who is absolutely hilarious. We met outside for the first time, as you will hear. We had five courses, including a couple desserts, on the second floor of this restaurant. We came back to the studio, the Vox Media Studios, and recorded for about 40 minutes discussing our experiences, and I cut it into a podcast. I really hope you love it. I think Aparna's hilarious. If you want to see more of her, check out Corporate Season 2, her hilarious show that is coming back to Comedy Central on January 15th, or follow her on all the platforms at Apar Napkin, A-P-A-R-N-A-P-K-I-N. And here is my very long hangout with Aparna Nancherla.
Hi! How'd you know? The shady guy standing outside?
No, your email, I think, had a little photo.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going?
It's great.
So we met outside.
For the first time.
Yeah. I would say it went okay.
It was great because I'm by far the more awkward person of the two of us.
Oh, no. I think I'm just... I told you I had been up till 6 a.m. this morning, and I just woke up shortly before our meeting. so I might have also not been at my best.
So we met at Lexus, at The Intersect,
mm-hmm.
by Danny Meyer. But it's actually called The Intersect by Lexus.
Oh.
It's a restaurant in the Meatpacking District by legendary restaurateur Danny Meyer. And this was like a big opening everyone got excited about because...
It was. I didn't realize this was only week four for them.
Week four.
Wow.
Yeah. We were really curious to see how the Lexus would integrate itself into...
Intersect.
Would intersect. With our dining experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was really easy, and it is really easy to make fun of such a brand play like this and make fun of...
Because it feels very blatant.
It's so blatant.
Yeah.
So we showed up, and this place is glitzy, glammy, right on 14th Street, right in the heart of the Meatpacking District, sitting amongst some of New York's most famous nightclubs and athleisure stores.
Oh, athleisure. That's big.
Yeah.
Big right now. But yeah, there it was. It was it looked very nice, but it didn't look uninviting.
That's generous.
Yeah, where you would be like, I don't belong here. That's how I felt.
I think, the first floor is a coffee shop during the day.
I think that helps.
Felt like the entrance to a fancy hotel, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Wait till you see the front door of this thing,
Oh, my God. Oh, of course there are cars here. I don't know why I didn't think that.
But it's hard not to notice immediately when you turn the corner.
Gold Lexus?
The life-size gold Lexus.
I think it's actual size.
Yeah.
I think you could drive it out if you wanted.
So that is on the ground floor. And then they are so kind, as they are in the majority of Union Square mm-hmm. Hospitality Group restaurants. They greeted us at the front and escorted us to the upstairs.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Good. How are you? Reservation, Daniel Janine.
Perfect for two of you, right?
Yeah.
And told us the bathroom was on the first floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, if you want to go to the bathroom, you're going to have to come see us again.
Yeah, go now.
Yeah.
And then they took our coats. I guess you kept your coat.
Yeah, it's important that we give this much detail here.
I think people need to know mm-hmm. who kept their coat.
To be honest, it's because, as I said to you before, I had a portable charger in it. I know I didn't need the portable charger, but because we just met, I thought in the off chance that you needed a portable charger, there's no greater gift that you can give to someone these days.
Yeah, you wanted to be ready, which I respect.
We booked the chef's counter mm-hmm. for our meal, as we've said What do you think about Chef's Counters?
I really liked it. I liked being able to watch everything being plated, and I just liked seeing all the cooks. It sounds wrong. To
all
say
the cooks.
Yeah. All the cooks. See all the line people doing their
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that line people is better.
I think line people. People know what I mean by line people. No, just see everyone in their element. Everyone was so good at what they did.
There was so much competence. There were competency was overflowing out of that
kitchen.
From
wall to wall.
Yeah. So the way that the restaurant works is every 6 months they are featuring a super fancy chef from somewhere else in the world. Who did we have this month, Aparna?
Gregory Marchand.
Of the legendary Frenchy in Paris.
Frenchy.
And the plates he was doing were very abstract, you know, lots of lines and dusts and crumbs.
Yeah, and like dollops of things. But I feel like the flavors were accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what was the first thing we had? It was
burrata.
The burrata. And it had a lot of things we ordered had like a crunchy crumble on top, which I wonder if that was sort of an overarching theme.
I think so. Yeah. I think, you know, dried rices, puffed rices, buckwheats and things like are very, very hot right now.
And fit. Yeah. And I guess fit in seasonally with like the fall, winter.
We should say that we couldn't find, besides some menu puns.
Oh, right.
We couldn't find evidence of the car,
the Lexus
on the second floor. So once you shake the behemoth Lexus on the main floor, you're free of Lexus.
I think on that cocktail menu, the unalcoholic drink, non-alcoholic drink said unleaded.
They sure did.
But that was it. Oh, and then the seasonal drink.
Was the
cider car.
Yeah.
Which is a pun, but also just a play on an actual drink. It's not like they had to make up a car-based drink.
I tried a joke on the cider car.
That didn't work.
It didn't land.
And I'm not saying that on my behalf. It didn't work on the hostess that you used it on.
It was the same as the regular drink, except they added the car as a joke.
Oh, right.
And she said, no, it's usually called a sidecar.
Maybe she just, I'm assuming a lot of people come in and they don't know anything.
Yeah. No, I think she just wanted to be like, hey, listen, jokester. All right, you're going to conform to my ordering policies.
This isn't that kind of an establishment.
Let's get to the food. So, you are a vegetarian.
I'm a vegetarian.
How long have you been a vegetarian?
Since I was 13.
But before you were 13, you tried all the meats.
I tried some of them. I didn't try sweetbread, as we talked about. There was sweetbread on the menu, and I was like, oh, that's one I've never had.
You didn't get to that one.
I never will.
Yeah.
Where would you get it as a child?
Yeah. I mean, right out of the animal.
I guess so.
So you had bacon? Like,
Did I have bacon? I must have tried it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you know that you were going to become a vegetarian, so you wanted to check them all off your list, or?
No, like,
That'd be a cool thing for a kid to do. Like, I'm going vegetarian and starting
like
Jan 1.
To-do list?
Yeah.
I was raised Hindu, so we didn't eat, like, beef, but we grew up eating chicken and fish and stuff, and then I think my parents even let us try some beef just so we would know what it tasted like. And then I did a report on factory farming and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we had 5 vegetarian dishes.
We did.
They coursed them out very well for us. We started with a burrata and a pear.
Mm-hmm. The pear was locally sourced.
Sure was, from the farmer's market that day.
It
was a delicious.
It was delicious, and that one had the puffed rice.
Sure, yeah.
Well, it had what they called it curried granola. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. So we had that. I think that for me, like, it's really meaningful to go out for dinner with someone and see them come in one way and really learn over the course of the meal and come out just a new person. And
just a car owner?
Just a Lexus owner. But no, I mean, first bite, you, this whole composed dish comes down and you're like, I'm going to try a pear.
Oh, yeah. I just went for a single pear. I didn't try the burrata or the granola.
Fork confidence. We were.
Yeah. We were talking about levels of fork confidence and how much you can fit on one bite. and you just went for it.
Yeah.
You got everything on there.
You weren't. Was it too much? Was I too much?
I was impressed.
Forks
by...
flying.
No, I don't think it was upsetting. It was just.
What were your first impressions of me?
It was cool to see that you got everything on there.
Yeah, and you were like, wow, that guy's
knows what he's doing with a fork.
Yeah, I mean, I've held a few forks.
But also it's like when the dish is so pretty, it feels hard to be like, I'm going to destroy this thing they just created. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you feel when you get have you ever had a waiter drop a dish down and they say, like, chef suggests you mix it all together?
I've never had that.
You've never had that?
No.
That's a big thing. Like, it's
really?
If you get, I mean, on a basic level, you might get a risotto, or something like that with an egg yolk on it. And then they're like, you know, chef suggests you mix it all together before and have it all in one bite or something like that. You've never heard that?
No.
How would you feel about it? Do you care?
I like mixing everything.
Yeah, for sure.
So they'd be like, I was planning to, but thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, who would not mix an egg yolk in? It feels like egg yolks are meant to be mixed in.
Yeah, that was maybe not the best example.
I mean, a lot of stuff we had just like, would have like a splash of sauce around it. So then it was like, do you want to sop it around or are you going to ignore all of our colorful flavor lines?
Well, color was certainly something that they take into account there.
Yeah.
Which always scares me because I'm like, don't worry about the color, just worry about the taste.
But oh, you think it's a distraction?
I don't know if it's a distraction. I don't want someone at the farmer's market being like, that's a really pretty carrot, and that's a really delicious carrot, and I may take the pretty one.
We ordered the carrots.
We sure did. That was like our next dish.
They were very flavorful. I thought.
There were. It was three carrots on the plate, all cooked perfectly, but there was one traditional orange carrot, a purple carrot, and a...
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, and a white carrot. Yeah,
that's carrot?
Cool. And a white carrot.
But yeah, all cooked perfectly. What was on that one? It was also a crumbly.
More crumbly stuff, yeah. It's saying it all the time now makes it kind of wears on the magic a little bit, but we were certainly...
But there was something else in that one.
There was a cream. There was definitely a cream of some kind. Yeah. I asked you which carrot you wanted, thinking you'd have a color preference, and you're like, I'll take the one on top.
I took the traditional carrot.
The traditional carrot.
There was also like, what came with the carrots? The leeks. We really liked the leeks.
The leeks. The leeks they grilled on one of those, on the Japanese box grills, the Binchotan.
Which I couldn't see most of the time. And
no, you had the luxury of staring into a huge pole.
I was sitting behind a pole, which is my preferred seating.
The leeks, though, I think that was probably our favorite
yeah,
dish,
right? It was just a very, all the flavors worked really well together. The leeks had a smoky flavor, and then the saboyan.
Saboyan, oh my God.
Saboyan.
Do you have a crazy, you must have a crazy good memory.
I think I just remembered it because we liked it so much.
The sabayon? Yeah, but I told you what it was and I forgot what it was.
Egg custard?
It's a aerated egg.
It was aerated, but then there was the yolk in the middle still. It was really good.
It was a really delish. Yeah, really delicious dish.
Again, there were three leeks.
Three leeks?
Three carrots, three leeks.
Yeah.
It's hard when there are two of you because it means one of them...
Well, no, I knew you liked it because I said...
You gave me the last leek.
I did give you the last leek, and I said, do you want the last leek? And you were like, we could split it, but, like, you wanted the last leek.
I know, and then I just took it. I didn't even ask if we could split it.
Yeah, you did.
I don't think
so. Yeah, don't try to be a villain for the sake of the podcast. Yeah, you offered to split.
I don't remember that.
Do you ever feel when you're out at restaurants that being a vegetarian makes hurts your experience in the world?
Sometimes, yeah. I think it does. I don't think I'm alone in being someone who likes to look at the menu before I go.
You're not alone, but there are people who do and people who don't.
It seems like early versus late people. Like, it seems like there are two camps.
There are two camps, yeah.
But in doing that, sometimes that helps me pick where to go based on what they have as an option for a vegetarian.
Yeah.
But I do feel like sometimes when I'm in a group and we have to go wherever has mm-hmm. been decided, you can tell, like, if the restaurant gets a lot of vegetarians based on the quality of the vegetable mm-hmm. dishes.
I think there's always a dish you can get.
Yeah. But sometimes it feels very slapped together.
I think it's a pretty modern thing to have a vegetarian dish in the main course section.
Yeah.
And some places will have multiple. But speaking of having a vegetable as a main course, cauliflower has come up in a big way. In terms of being the the centerpiece of a meal, mm-hmm. of a plate,
and
a big
I think
cauliflower steak. I don't know why they have to call it a steak. It's not a steak, but
I think people think
it's better than the word hunk, I guess.
Give it a meaty connotation. People would be like, oh, this is a prize dish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because people think steak means like high end.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they do that with tuna steak too.
They sure do.
I'm just glad cauliflower's in because it means portobello's out. For a while, portobello seemed to be all people thought vegetarians yeah. wanted. If you didn't like it, you were...
Oh, that was your option for a long time?
Yeah,
I feel like... Oh, we have a big portobello.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't need this much mushroom. It's too much.
What about a Shake Shack, the portobello burger? Are you happy with that or...
No. I don't want it. You get a juicy meat and I just get a huge
fungus.
Right. No thanks.
Yeah. That's too bad. But so what is your take on all the companies making artificial meats and like really trying to mold vegetables into meats instead of just being like, here's a vegetable. It can be a main course. It doesn't have to be like a meat.
I like it. I mean, I like sort of all the fake meat stuff. I like just because I like interesting textures. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like, I guess I'm not a vegetarian where I'm like, I miss meat, so mm-hmm. I need a substitution. Whereas I feel like now they're sort of catering to people who maybe want to shy off of meat a little bit more. So they need...
Yeah.
They need replacements for them to eat that are plant-based, which I'm totally okay with. I don't think I need that. Like, I don't need a burger that tastes like a beef burger.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't get why the veggie burger needs to bleed, I guess.
I don't either.
Yeah.
That to me feels like someone who had to stop eating meat because of, I don't know, their blood pressure or something. And they're like, how can I eat something that doesn't bleed?
Right.
Yeah. Or maybe it's to appeal to like hardcore alpha males.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
So they don't look like cucks.
Yeah. My wife's making me eat veggies for a day. I'll show her.
Yeah. Luckily, it bleeds.
Anyway, so we had a nice cauliflower steak. It was a delicious dish. I don't remember. It was, you know, beautifully crusted.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about your ramping up your cooking efforts at home.
Yep.
Cauliflower steak.
Cauliflower steak feels manageable.
Yeah, but it's tough.
I bet it is.
You have to steam it a little bit ahead of time.
Because the texture was so specific.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th. And it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
We should talk about the lovely floor manager.
We had such a lovely floor manager who came to ask if we had any questions.
Yeah.
And then later came and followed up to see if we had come up with any questions.
We had a couple questions. I'm not going to put you in this camp, but as the snooty, nosy person, well, kind of journalist. Okay.
That yeah.
I really wanted to know. I wanted to know how much the operation was being affected by the car.
Yes.
He was saying.
He was like, well, the car is running at all times.
And he's like, and we're in a giant car right now.
This whole thing could just take off.
The car, the way the car had worked its hooks into this operation was not Lexus branding.
Right.
Was that Lexus had hired this design firm.
Wonderwall.
See, with the, wow. I mean, I guess, how could
you
forget?
I really like good design, so I think I remembered it because I was like, oh, they did a really good job.
Oh, compliment.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to, I mean, this isn't your style. But.
Well, I thought when he said how precise they were about, you know, the exact measurements of stuff, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool that they're so.
Right. Well, he was saying that they were having serious delays in the opening, and it's because things as specific as a light bulb being like 1 inch in the wrong direction or something. He was saying in a typical restaurant, you would never notice these things,
but
the firm that they hired, the Tokyo-based firm they hired, was so exacting that they held the opening of the restaurant until it was exactly up to their standards, which is wild.
It is. It's definitely a hard core philosophy to abide by.
I appreciate it. I think the overarching question we had is, are we being too Lexist right now? Are we being so Lexist
that
this is a turnoff?
Yeah, like we don't even realize we're being Lexist.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't overt. I mean, besides this, like the little touches here and there.
Well, and once you got to the second floor, which is the restaurant area, there was no evidence of Lexist except the menu boards.
No,
plans.
Yeah.
It seems like the one way they did was by hiring this design firm, at least for the restaurant area, to hold back production a year, which makes me think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money. There's a lot of money here.
There's got to be, And they have this rotating chef thing. And so I think they said the chef they have there now is there until the beginning of next year?
Another 2 months. No, sorry, 6 months. So another 4 months.
And then they're not even saying yet who the next one is. But they're booked until 2020 with chefs.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think Lexus has done a fantastic job, right? I think what I find so fascinating with this kind of thing is we think that restaurant, I'm not weeing you and me, I'm saying like Eater and our coverage, like we think that, you know, a restaurant gets pushed back a year. Mm-hmm. Like that's crazy money. That's crazy high stakes. That's millions of dollars. But for a giant auto corporation, they're like, we don't care. Like we want it to be perfect. Let's just keep pushing it back until it works. Oh, I'm sure our chef guys will be ready for the by the time it's open. Like it's just they're just in such different leagues.
Yeah.
Which makes me think like, why not just give away the food for free? Like why? Like the food That's making true. Money is clearly not part
incentive.
Of this.
Yeah. Huh.
Because the real estate is insane.
It's like crazy.
It's massive. It's probably 4,000, 5,000 square feet.
Yeah.
In one of the most expensive districts in the city. I think. I don't know that kind of
thing. Seems like it.
And we ate 5 big dishes, had 2 drinks, and it was $175, tip included. Like, I was excited when I saw the bill. I thought that was actually fairly reasonable.
Yeah.
Considering everything.
And dessert.
And dessert. And 2 desserts. I'm sorry.
We had 2 desserts.
7 dishes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
That seems pretty affordable.
Let's finish our conversation with the guy. So it wrapped up and he was lovely.
He was so nice
and made us feel very welcome, you know. And let's talk about the desserts. Was the banoffee, which was the flagship dessert or something
of Frenchie
in Paris. Yeah. And they were so nice about also, they kept telling.
Oh, yeah.
We ordered
they kept
twice.
Coming back. To say there was gelatin in various dessert items because they knew I was vegetarian, which was very thoughtful of them.
They did it once, and then they could have just gone with it.
Yeah.
And you kind of forgot about gelatin.
I did. And then they came back and they were like, oh, it's also in this.
I think the food was really
good. I was prepared for it to be like a diluted version of good food.
Right, or a very safe bet.
Yeah.
I think it was safe. I mean, we even heard that. Mm-hmm. They
went with
a safer choice
for their first chef.
Not necessarily a safe chef, just the his food is
has mass appeal.
Mass appeal.
Yeah.
Every good critic, and mm-hmm. you know, I am no critic, but every good critic will say they never want to dislike the food at a restaurant.
Right.
This food would have been fun to dislike for the story.
Right.
And
so
I can't.
We were prepared to.
We're ready to, ready to hightail on out of there. You know, but vroom, vroom. We didn't even get any good car puns in.
No. We did use the restrooms on the way out, and they were very nice.
And we even checked out the car. Like, I at least was like, this is an interesting looking car.
I don't think I looked at
it. No, you didn't at all. I was watching to see if you looked at the car or not.
There was a wall of little cars outside the bathroom, little toy cars.
It was so tasteful.
I loved that.
It was so tasteful.
That was enough cars.
You remember you said it's almost as if Lexus was trying to be tasteful or something?
Yeah. It was. It was almost like they were like, we don't want to insult people by being
Lexusing them over the head.
Yeah, exactly. So they're like, we'll have touches of our presence, and I guess the biggest being the actual car, but but like the restaurant upstairs, you didn't feel like you were being hit over the head with Lexus branding.
They could have even had a little more. Like, they could have had some wooden steering wheels or something in the glass.
No.
Okay. I mean,
do you think that was a tense meeting that Wonderwall had with Lexus, where Lexus was like, "Can we at least have
that's funny.
Some wooden steering wheels?" Wonderwall was like, "No," and because you said that, we're delaying for another 6 months.
Yeah, and we're putting sliding doors in the bathroom.
The sliding doors really made me a lot more excited than I
for
thought
sure.
they would.
So, and when we walked out of the bathroom, we said, are we any more likely to buy a Lexus
after eating there?
Or just like, how do we feel about the brand Lexus
now?
Yeah. And I got to say, for me, it was, I feel no worse, maybe a little better.
I think I feel not worse, not better, just about the same. I was like, I learned Lexus can cook. I think I would go back to have a meal.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would drive one of their cars.
I think we learned that Danny Meyer runs a fantastic restaurant group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I actually was pretty, it worked for me, the whole thing. Especially being in that neighborhood and not being the bougiest restaurant of all time.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't. I don't think it was aggressively trendy at all.
I think, honestly, if you would go back there, they've done their job.
Yeah, I think so.
Can we tell the story about the manager as we were leaving?
Oh, it feels like we're betraying him.
He spent a lot of lovely time with us and did not seem like he was shilling for Lexus at all.
No.
Like, he is a man who provides wonderful hospitality.
Yeah.
When we walked out from the bathroom and we saw the car on display again, he was showing...
Oh, no.
Is this... He was showing someone the car.
He was. But then he saw us.
And?
And he looked very embarrassed. It was like the part of his job that he did not want to.
That's because, I mean, we schemed about this in the cab ride, but that's because it was not part of his job.
It's not.
Circumstances led him to
showing
him the car. I think
that other guy was forcing him to.
Yeah. That's what your call is.
Like, he was like, can you tell me about this car? And he had to because he's a hospitable person.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't do it of his own accord.
That's, I mean, it had to be, but it was pretty fantastic to... The one thing you don't want to think there is that anyone is not being subtle in their Lexus suggestions.
Lettuce.
And to catch him showing someone the car was just
and to have that be the last thing we see, because it made it seem like the whole restaurant was just a waiting room for people who wanted information about cars.
It's just amazing how far good hospitality can go, because mm-hmm. we spent 10 minutes on the ride back finding ways to give him the benefit of the doubt.
We did. We really wanted him to be the hero.
And he was the hero.
He was the hero.
How was the whole experience for you? Was it?
It was very pleasant.
Yeah.
I would say you're right. The hospitality went really a long way.
Right.
I mean, the food was great too, but I think because they were so thoughtful about all the other details, it made it that much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's your first restaurant review.
Whoa. I think I was more afraid I'd have to be so, like, blisteringly mean.
This was you being harsh, right?
No, I was afraid that we were going to really go all in on tearing apart Intersect, and we didn't have to.
No, thank God.
I know. I feel stressed out about saying that we passed that guy leaving the bathroom.
I loved him, though. I truly think
I know. We both loved him.
I wonder, I hope that, I will email him after this, and I don't know, actually.
You should. You'd be like, I know that you weren't
I know, you caught me showing the car. It just has 10.5 miles per gallon over the top.
He just rattles off a spiel.
No, no, no. All right. Well, Aparna Nancharla, thank you so much for joining me for holy shit, how long?
Intersect. Now it's been almost 4 hours.
4 hours of time. Yeah. Honestly, probably a terrible choice by you and your publicist.
I should have brought my publicist.
He's like, that's 2.5 hours. You're done.
You're done.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. If you want to hear and see more of Aparna, check out Corporate Season 2 on Comedy Central January 15th. Follow her on all the platforms at Aparnapkin. And remember to subscribe to the show, rate the show, pass the show along, spread it far and wide. And we will see you next week for something else. Thanks so much.